Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting into an advanced old-school pad widening approach in Ableton Live 12, specifically for breakbeat-driven drum and bass. And right away, let's set the vibe correctly. In DNB, a pad is not supposed to be this giant stereo blanket that covers everything and hopes for the best. Nah, the pad is support. It lifts the break, frames the bass line, adds atmosphere, and gives the track that emotional glow without stealing the punch from the drums. So the goal here is a pad that feels wide, alive, a little unstable, and properly jungle-flavored, but still mix safe. We want width in the sides, stability in the center, and enough movement to feel old-school without turning into a glossy trance wash. Start with the source. This matters more than most people think. If you begin with a pad that already sounds huge and hyper-polished, you'll spend the rest of the process fighting it. Instead, choose something with a clear mid-range identity. In Ableton Live 12, that could be drift, wave-eatable, or simpler. For drift, think two oscillators, maybe saw and triangle, with gentle detune. For wave-eatable, use a basic saw shape and only a little unison. For simpler, a chord stab or a short chord sample loop can be amazing for that old sample jungle feel. Keep it darker, more moody, and slightly ambiguous harmonically. Attack around 20 to 60 milliseconds. Release anywhere from about 600 milliseconds to a couple of seconds depending on how long you want the pad to breathe. If it's too bright, tame it early. You do not want a shiny top-heavy pad competing with the snare crack or the upper break detail. A cutoff somewhere around 1.5 to 5 kHz is often a good starting point if the source is feeling too modern. Now before we talk stereo, clean it up. This is a big one. In drum and bass, widening a muddy sound is basically just making the mud wider, not the move. Drop EQ8 on the pad and high-pass it, depending on the source. Somewhere between 120 and 250 Hz is a sensible place to start. Then listen in the low mids. If the pad is clouding the snare body or blurring the break's ghost notes, make a small cut around 250 to 500 Hz. If it's stepping on the snare crack or the bass presence, you may want a gentle dip around 2 to 4 kHz. And if it's too modern and sparkly, a soft high shelf cut above 8 or 10 kHz can pull it back into old school territory. Here's the teacher note that matters. In DNB, the pad should lose the low end lane completely. The sub and kick need that center. The snare needs punch. The break needs transient contrast. If your pad is stealing that space, it doesn't matter how pretty it sounds in solo. Now let's build the widening chain properly. Instead of using one giant stereo effect and hoping for magic, split the sound into a center layer and a wide layer. You can do this with an audio effect rack, or by duplicating the pad onto two tracks. The center chain should stay mostly mono and steady. This is the body and the pitch anchor. Keep it quieter than you think. It doesn't need to be loud. It just needs to be there. The wide chain is where the atmosphere lives. This is where you can bring in chorus ensemble, a very slow auto pan, or utility width expansion. For chorus ensemble, keep the mix low, maybe around 10 to 25%. With a slow rate and modest amount. For autopan, go very slow, around 0.02 to 0.12 Hz, with an amount that feels like motion rather than an obvious effect. If you use utility, push width only on the top layer, not on the whole pad blindly. That split is important, because old-school jungle and DNB often feel great when the core is stable and the edges are a little worn-in and moving. That imperfect stereo image can actually sound more authentic than something perfectly polished. Next, use midside EQ. This is where the pad starts acting like a proper atmosphere layer instead of a generic synth. On the wide chain, put EQ8 into M/S mode. In the mid-channel, high-pass around 180 to 300 Hz so the center stays clean. In the side channel, you can add a small boost around 3 to 8 kHz if you need more air and shimmer. If the sides feel boxy, cut around 250 to 600 Hz there. And remember, a little goes a long way. A 1 to 2 dB side lift is often enough. A really useful advanced move is to automate that side presence over the arrangement. For example, keep the sides a touch tucked in during the drop, then open them up a little in the breakdown or tension section. That gives the illusion of the room expanding without changing the musical part. Now let's give the pad some motion. Old school widening is not static. It breathes. You can use chorus ensemble, phaser flanger, or even auto filter movement. The key is to keep it slow and subtle. We're not making a dance bop width effect. We're making a smoky, unstable atmosphere that sits behind the break. For chorus ensemble, a low mix around 10 to 20% usually works. For autopan, 15 to 35% amount is often enough if it's only there for width. If you're automating filter cutoff, Even a slow drift from about 200 HE to 2KHE over 8 bars can create that evolving old-school tension. And this is a good place for a warning. If the pad starts sounding seasick, you've gone too far. The breakbeat is the boss here. The pad should vibe with it, not wobble all over it. Now let's glue the pad to the rhythm. In DNB, the break is often the main rhythmic identity, so the pad should breathe around it. Sidechain compression is a great move here, but keep it musical. Try a compressor on the pad with a ratio around 2 to 4 to 1. Attack somewhere between 10 and 30 milliseconds if you want the pad to bloom a bit before ducking, or faster if it's too forward. Release around 80 to 180 milliseconds. Time to the groove. You usually only need 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction most of the time. If you want a more old-school result, sidechain from the break bus rather than only the kick. That way the pad ducks around the full rhythm of the break, including the ghost notes and snares. That's especially effective in jungle, where the break itself is part of the hook. Next, let's add a bit of age. A pad can be wide but still feel sterile if it has no harmonic texture. So bring in some controlled saturation. Saturator is a great choice. Try 1 to 4 dB of drive, keep soft clip on, and compensate the output. You can also use drum bus very lightly if you want a bit of density. The idea is not to destroy the pad, just to give it some worn harmonic spread. An advanced trick here is to play saturation before chorus on one chain and after chorus on another. Pre-saturation gives the chorus more harmonics to smear around the stereo field. Post-saturation can add a hazier, more blended edge. Both can be useful, depending on the vibe. If you want that truly old-school texture, consider resampling the pad once the widening chain is sounding good. This is a classic move. Freeze or flatten it, or resample it onto audio, then treat it like an atmospheric fragment instead of a live synth. Once it's audio, you can trim the best phrases, reverse little sections, add fades, or slice short pad swells to use as transitions. This works really well in breakbeat arrangements because the pad starts behaving like sampled material, which fits the jungle aesthetic beautifully. Now for the arrangement part, because this is where a lot of people miss the point. Width is not just a sound design choice. It's an arrangement choice. You do not want the pad at the same width for the whole track. That gets dull fast. Instead, automate width and filtering by section. In the intro, let the pad start narrower, then widen it as the break establishes the groove. Before the drop, open the filter and increase the side presence a little. At the drop, actually narrow it slightly so the drums and bass hit harder. Then in the breakdown, let it become the widest and most emotional version of itself. That contrast is what makes the pad feel intentional. For example, in a 16-bar intro, you could keep the pad almost mono for the first 4 bars, while the break settles in. Then from bars 5 to 8, widen the top chain and open the filter a little. When the bass line comes in at bar 9, pull the center back slightly so the drop feels bigger by comparison. That's the trick. Wider does not always mean better. Sometimes the bigger move is making the pad narrower for a moment so the next wide section feels huge. And don't forget the mono check. This is non-negotiable. Temporarily set utility on the master or pad group to 0% width and listen. Does the pad vanish? Does the break suddenly feel more exposed or more balanced? Does the snare regain punch? If the pad collapses into nothing, you need more monosafe center information or less phase-heavy widening. A great old-school pad should lose some magic in mono, sure, but it should not disappear completely. You want a strong center and tasteful side energy, not a hollow stereo trick. A few extra coach notes before we wrap up. Treat pad width as a frequency decision, not just a stereo one. Keep the low mid centralized and let the sides carry the air. If the break sounds smaller when the pad enters, the pad is probably stealing transient contrast, not just level. In that case, pull back the 300 to 800 HC range before you start stacking more stereo effects. Also, a slightly imperfect stereo image often sounds better in this style. Tiny differences between left and right can give you that sampled, worn-in jungle feel. And sometimes the reverb tail is what's making the pad feel wide, not the dry sound itself. So listen carefully and shape the space, not just the source. Here's a solid practice challenge. Build 2 versions of the same pad for an 8-bar DNB loop. Version 1 should be restrained and mono-safe for the drop. Version 2 should be more animated and wider for the breakdown or intro. Use at least 2 width methods on the wider version, like M/SAQ, chorus, stereo delay, or resampling. Automate a clear change between bars 1 to 4 and bars 5 to 8. Then mono-check both versions and note what changed when collapsed. If you want the best takeaway from this lesson, it's this. In drum and bass, a widened pad should feel like mist behind the break, Not a blanket over the whole track. Keep the center clean. Widen the edges. Move with the arrangement and always protect the drums. Do that, and your pad will sound atmospheric, old school, and properly mix ready.